Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And sometimes we introduce people to a group or a group of groups that they didn't even know existed. Today, our subject, our topic is the Philanthropy Collective. It opened in early January. It's the first of its kind here in our state, and it brings together established foundations and the region's community-minded to visualize what is possible across our region. Let you know, it's located on Pikes Peak Avenue, right at 315 East Pikes Peak Avenue, in an historic Art Deco inspired building that was once a bus depot and auto repair shop. So it's gone through a transformation, and it's being mobilized as a community asset, representing some of the capital investment and power in numbers that our creative community can have as we embark on this new philanthropic frontier for Southern Colorado. All right, here to talk about the Philanthropy Collective, we are so pleased to have with us David Dahlin, Vice President of Philanthropic Services for the Pikes Peak Community Foundation. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shannon. It's wonderful to be here with you today.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here to talk about this. And we also have with us on the Vision Home Loans Newsline, Tony Rosendo, who's the CEO of Spur Philanthropy. Tony, welcome to The Extra.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Glad to be talking with you, and looking forward to chatting with you in just a moment. But let's start with David, and hopefully, David, you can give us a little background on the Pikes Peak Community Foundation for our listeners. How did this start? Where's the mission, and what's the history?
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity. The Pikes Peak Community Foundation has been here since 1928, stewarding trusts and funds for members of our community. So we support and guide individuals, corporations, and family foundations in effective philanthropy. We have over 200 individual funds, and we also hold general endowments for the ongoing good of our community. We grant upwards of $6 million a year to support the nonprofits that benefit our community. What's more important, though, Shannon, is that our vision is to have this be a thriving, resilient, sustainable community for all of our residents. And we know that that's not always the case. So how do we use the resources that we have to make sure that this community continues to have a great quality of life and that we're meeting the needs of those that need some assistance, and we're also looking for opportunities to make this place an even better place for all of us to live?
And certainly we saw the Pikes Peak Community Foundation's mission demonstrated during the coronavirus pandemic that I think we're all glad to finally be seeing in the rearview mirror. But as we do that, we are opening the door on a new endeavor, the Philanthropy Collective in downtown Colorado Springs. Tell us about this collaboration, what it represents, and what it's planning on doing.
Yeah, it really represents a game changer for the philanthropic community. And again, we all stumble over the word philanthropy, Shannon.
You know, it's a mouthful, I did.
Right?
You noticed.
Well, I do it all the time, even trying to type it. But it's a great word. You know, philanthropy, you know, it comes from the love of brother, right? The love of humankind, and that we are motivated out of generosity and compassion to do good on behalf of you know, people outside our immediate circle, right? And particularly, we make some distinction between general charitable giving, which is kind of the backbone of you know, making our nonprofit sector work, and philanthropy that can sometimes take a more thoughtful, time-intensive research approach to some of the bigger problems that we want to address, some of the systemic issues that we want to address, things that actually are going to take many people working together and often have to have partnerships with business and government to get things done. So the idea behind the Philanthropy Collective is bringing the area's foundations and philanthropists and corporate givers together whenever they desire to do that, to have conversations, to learn, to grow, to raise our profile, to know our community more deeply, to look at opportunities more thoroughly, to be able to be the place, whether it's a virtual meeting or a physical meeting, the place to gather and share our thoughts and ideas. The big idea really is collective. Not that we're going to be, you know, all doing one thing and act like one organization, but we all know that You know, places like Silicon Valley didn't become hubs of technology because there were two smart guys there, right? It's because there were hundreds of smart people working together in a technical space. Same thing with like arts hubs. Like, you know, New York City isn't the theater capital of the world because there's two theaters. It's the critical mass of creative talent. So we're trying to bring the creative mass of critical talent when it comes to philanthropy and social change together in the Pikes Peak region.
Right. Because when you're talking about safety nets, you don't want parts of the same of different nets covering the same space. You want to make sure that they're
It's really easy to have duplication of effort.
Right.
In any business, any kind of thing, that if we don't know what someone else is doing, we all go our own way and do our own things. And sometimes that works great, and sometimes we're stepping on each other, or we're creating holes in whatever thing we're trying to fix, or we're just kind of wasting time and effort. And who has time to waste time and effort?
Right. So who exactly is calling the Philanthropy Collective home?
Well, so the even the sense of home is a little bit confusing, or not confusing, but permeable here. So this is a space where we have certain foundations that are actually tenants here. So it is a co-working space for some of the foundations. More importantly, it's this bigger, broader community of all of the funders and foundations in the region, and the space for us to gather. The initial tenants that are actually like officing here, and this is their primary place of residence, is the Pike Peak Community Foundation, of course, and our sister organization, that's the Pikes Peak Real Estate Foundation. And then we have Spur Philanthropy, and you'll be talking with Tony in just a minute, and they represent significant foundations here in the region, including the Lane Foundation, Bloom Foundation, and G.E. Johnson Foundation. So they're housed here. Sachs Foundation is here, Joseph Henry Edmondson Foundation, the Vredenburg Foundation, and the Gazette Charities Foundation. So that's a pretty great group of people, but it's not meant to exclude that we have lots of conversation with lots of the other funders in town that also consider themselves part of the Philanthropy Collective.
And I was wondering about that. Do you anticipate perhaps growth in the future that would expand beyond those 10?
Yeah, absolutely. We have additional office space that's available to lease to other like-minded groups that want to be part of this project. And it's also designed that we have hot desks and conference rooms and small rooms that are available for people to use kind of ad hoc. So like if you're from a Denver-based foundation that does funding here in Colorado Springs. So they're down in southern Colorado for a day. They've got a meeting in the morning. They've got a meeting in the afternoon. They've got time in the middle. We want this to be their home away from home so that we can collaborate with them in even just those casual conversations that often spark great ideas.
And so those who join, are they limited to the Philanthropy Collective acting as just one big behemoth, or is there some autonomy?
Oh, there's total autonomy. So there's no attempt or effort to manage or control the other foundations. Most of them have their own somewhat unique missions. You know, we have foundations that are really focused on health, some that are really focused on scholarships, some that are really focused on the arts. So not every project is appropriate for every foundation. The Community Foundation, on the other hand, really has no limits to where we engage in community well-being. So we're the host and the facilitator for this project. And sometimes it makes sense to do things together. Sometimes it makes sense just to know what each other is doing so that we can be, you know, supportive in whatever way we can. Sometimes we'll actually like pool our funds and do collective grant making and a collective project together. So it'll kind of run the spectrum of when we work side by side, when we work totally together, and when we work independently.
Well, they say there is strength in numbers, and this certainly seems to be one way to really test that and see it played out. Again, we're talking about the Philanthropy Collective. You can find out more by going to thephilanthropycollective.org. David Dolan, thank you. We'll check in with you a little later. Up next, we're going to be talking to Tony Rosendo, CEO of Spur Philanthropy. He's going to be telling us about this and what is, I guess, the motivation behind his organization being part of the Philanthropy Collective. That in a moment when we come back. We're back as the Extra continues. Our focus today, the Philanthropy Collective. And Tony Rosendo is here. He's the CEO of Spur Philanthropy. And Tony, could you tell our listeners a little bit about Spur?
Sure, thanks. So Spur Philanthropy is a company that I started in 2020. I had originally been on the education side. I co-founded a charter school called Atlas Prep. And so over time, I've been crafting a vision of how do you solve local solutions with local questions with local solutions. And so from that time, I had met the Lane family and was working as a direct employee and CEO of the Lane Family Foundation. And then shortly thereafter, I came on board with the Liu family as well, which is now called the Bloom Foundation. And so did that from 2015 to 2020, and during that time, acting as, you know, direct staff, I crafted a model in which our staff actually acts as fiduciaries and direct employees to each of the foundations we manage, as opposed to being, you know, more contractual. So we actually interface, you know, with legal counsel. We coordinate with accounting. We help file all of the legal and liable to stay in compliance types of issues. So, you know, today we have three clients and really are looking for that collective impact, which is kind of where 315 Collective also kind of got its beginnings. Because what we would like to say is that to all of our clients, and very similar to 315, is that, you know, not all of them fund the same thing or will be involved in projects, but that over time, all of their involvement has outsized leverage than it would just going it alone. And so, you know, each of the three foundations might individually fund something, but again, like, you know, 1 + 1 = 3, right? Mm-hmm. So really trying to find a way to leverage our collective giving.
I love that saying, 1 + 1 = 3. The collective can bring more bang for your buck than just the individual added together. And again, 315, standing for 315 East Pikes Peak Avenue, the physical location of what the Philanthropy Collective is all about. What inspired this collective, do you think? Like, was there a single light bulb moment, or was it built over, you know, months and years?
It was built over months and years. The notion was, how do we ignite and accelerate philanthropy in our community? And so, you know, in a community where we need more capital to come to the table, and that could be, you know, a variety of different capital resources, from investment all the way to philanthropy, you know, we just don't have the resources because we don't have Fortune 500 companies or big sales of companies as often as, you know, a Denver or a Dallas. And so really what we're hoping to do is create a space in which, you know, we can leverage that capital and have, again, outsized impact. And so the idea really was around, you know, how do we solve these capital gaps? You know, how do we go about really finding and supporting our community in a way that, you know, that we might not be able to, again, going alone versus together.
And the space itself, the physical space at 315 East Pikes Peak, is owned by, I understand it, a local LLC, Limited Liability Corporation, made up of local foundations. Are there investors in this? Is this something where outside investors came in to help with this? Can you explain?
Yeah, so we do have six investors, and what is called, from a foundation perspective, a mission-related investment. And so the way that that works is most of us that have a corpus or an endowment have our money invested in kind of, you know, qualified local investing or across the country investments. And so what you can do through the IRS code is also do what we call place-based investing or mission-related investing, in which we can deploy our, you know, local capital to have a social return as well as a modest return to be, you know, sort of fiduciarily responsible for for our corpus. And so it's pretty rare across the country. Stats we've heard is about 12% of all foundations across the country do mission-related investing at some capacity. Most of the time, they would give that opportunity to what we call a community development entity, a CDFI or a CDE. And then they would kind of have a conglomerate of offerings that you would invest into a fund. And so, you know, unique to us is having six local investors having a vision for this community and then investing in, you know, property to redevelop a property and build community and then kind of get that double line return, right? So we get the social return as well as a monetary return.
Right, which normally would be maybe a leasing agent or a leasing company might be the one getting part of that. And this way, it sounds like the foundations are the ones that are then reaping the totality of the benefits. Do you have any examples of other mission-related investments in our community?
There are not a ton, but we've been able to, you know, in particular, the Lane Foundation has done a number of them. So we were involved with the City for Champions, in which we purchased a property and then were able to sell the property, which, you know, kind of ignited the downtown Switchback Stadium. So that's, you know, kind of one example. I think that what's interesting, two comments I would make. One is that it's more complicated and a heavier lift to do these individually, to do them on your own, as opposed to just using an investment mechanism. So there isn't a lot of incentive outside of the community building of why you would, you know, take that risk and do that heavy lifting. On the other side, you know, you made the point of, you know, kind of typically how this might work. And it would be, you know, if it was real estate or if it was, you know, private equity fund or if it was something kind of much more of a generic tranche, you know, we would passively invest. The money manager would, you know, take a fee. We would get our return in a, you know, the form of distributions. And that's about as far as it would go, as opposed to, you know, actually living, sitting in this building, certainly getting a return, but also, you know, the heavy lift that it is to create community. And so, you know, we here are working pretty hard on just culturally, how do we live together? How do we find those moments of collective impact? What does it mean to see a block in this kind of area that may have not been invested in previously and be able to leverage those foundation dollars to see that change in renovation?
Right.
And so the hope will be also is not just our return, but also that sort of, you know, inspiring investment that will have follow on investment from other, you know, whether that be apartment complexes or someone, you know, purchasing a building and renovating it.
Well, and I certainly see, you know, based on having lived in a number of larger cities where unfortunately you see that kind of flight out of the downtown as it gets more expensive, and then the vitality kind of gets lost of the downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely keeping that vitality kind of concentrated in downtown is one added benefit as well. We need to take a short break here. Very fascinating subject today. We're talking about the Philanthropy Collective located at 315 East Pikes Peak. Keep on listening to The Extra. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you, sometimes the places, too. Today, we're talking about the Philanthropy Collective, also known as 315 Collective, located at 315 East Pikes Peak. And we've just been talking to Tony Rosendo, CEO of Spur Philanthropy. But now let's move on back to David Donlin, who's Vice President of Philanthropic Services for the Pikes Peak Community Foundation. David, we talked a little bit why, you know, the collective aspect of what this endeavor is so important, why standing together and working together for good can benefit the community as a whole in a much greater way. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Thanks, Shannon. I actually love the concept of together for good. It's kind of a double meaning that, you know, we're together hopefully for the long term, but we come together to do good in our community. And again, as we talked about a little bit earlier, we all know that, you know, I mean, individuals can do great things, right? But if you're really trying to accomplish something more than that, you have to work at creating some kind of an organization, some kind of collective effort. So this is just recognizing that, you know, as part of the overall community that cares about, you know, creating better community for all of our residents, if we just try to do that as an individual or one individual foundation, we're not going to get that far. We need to work collaboratively on the big ideas to make some things happen. I mean, one of the things we're so aware of is the changing nature of El Paso County and Colorado Springs. You know, a lot of people don't realize that in the 2020 census, El Paso County surpassed Denver County as the most populous county in the state. And Colorado Springs is expected to exceed the city of Denver as the largest populated city in the state by 2050. We don't think that the social sector is ready for that. We don't think the nonprofit community is ready for that. You know, we know our roads aren't really ready for it and some of our other infrastructure. We're also focused on what else is it going to take to, again, create a high quality of life for all of our current and future residents with that kind of population growth. I mean, one of the things we look at is the housing crisis and the challenge of, you know, even middle income earners being able to afford a place to live. And there are roles for philanthropy to play in helping make affordable housing, workforce housing happen. But that takes a lot of people working together to make that happen.
What about examples? Can you recall any that kind of represent this facet of philanthropic giving where they're leveraging a multitude of foundations and organizations to actually extend what they're able to do?
Yeah, I mean, again, recently during the beginning of the COVID crisis, Pikes Peak Community Foundation launched the, you know, COVID Emergency Relief Fund. But again, we were just the host for that. Some of our most significant foundation partners came in with significant dollars, in addition to very generous outpouring from the general public, of how do we help those being most affected, in especially in those early months, longer than months, you know, years of the crisis. And so we launched a number of different projects, both to, you know, help people that are giving direct aid, but also to strengthen the nonprofits, because just like small businesses downtown that, you know, serve food and do events, weren't sure they could keep their doors open. The same thing was true with nonprofits. You know, how many galas didn't happen over the last 2 years? How many fundraising events didn't happen? How many volunteer events didn't happen? So we were working to try to strengthen the nonprofit sector. And we spun up a program called Resiliency Through Innovation, which was helping nonprofits do a kind of an internal assessment of their organizational health, and then helping them shore up some of their basic organizational health, especially in the area of finances. And how do they look at their finances, and what do they need to create sustainability as a nonprofit? So that really was, you know, it preceded the naming of the Philanthropy Collective, but it was totally in line with the kind of work that the Philanthropy Collective does and intends to do.
And aside from bundling dollars to make the greatest impact, what do you hope this collective can achieve beyond that?
Yeah, actually, our first goal as this consortium of funders is to learn and to share expertise and information. So we all know that we have limited perspectives, right? Our knowledge is limited. Our field of view is limited. What we can be somewhat expert on is limited. So by listening and learning both to each other and then to outside experts, and especially to other members of our community that we may not regularly be in contact with, we can understand the needs and the issues of our community better. We can get in touch with like some big transformational opportunities that might be going on, and just get more savvy about all of that so that we can use these dollars well. As much as we might think philanthropists have, you know, really deep pockets, the reality is these dollars are actually kind of rare when you look at like the big dollars of government dollars and business dollars and even general charitable giving that the general public does. So we need to use that money really strategically. I actually worked with the Gates Foundation, and people know the Gates Foundation is just having, you know, billions of dollars. And even the Gates Foundation, with that much money, has a struggle of deciding what they're going to use that money for, because the need far outstrips their capacities to fill it. So we want to come together and go like, okay, of all the possibilities out there, what's going to be most strategic in using these dollars to move a significant initiative forward?
All right. Well, we need to take a short break here. When we come back, we'll be continuing the conversation with David Dolan and Tony Resendo about the Philanthropy Collective, located at 315 East Pikes Peak. And of course, if you would like to find out more, you can go to thephilanthropycollective.org. That's the website. And when we come back, we'll continue the discussion, how to make an organization or a group of organizations like this provide the most benefit for the community, and what we can expect to see in the months and years to come. That's coming up here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We're back with our final segment of The Extra. We're talking about the Philanthropy Collective. It's got a physical space at 315 East Pikes Peak Avenue. It was founded earlier this year, and we've been speaking to Tony Resendo, CEO of Spur Philanthropy, who was rather critical in the founding of this. And Tony, the Philanthropy Collective is not the only resident at this space, 315 East Pikes Peak, that is community-driven. Tell us about The Well.
Sure. So The Well is a food hall with four food stalls, an outdoor music performance venue, and a bar and cafe called Gift Horse. And really, I think the couple things that we were after in this is building community through investment. So, you know, via the vehicle of food and drink, but also being able to underpin a revenue stream for those investors. And so we do earn, as an investment, revenue that comes from The Well. The thing I've been kind of saying, and it's not a joke, but, you know, there aren't a lot of for-profit entities that are owned by a nonprofit entity in mm-hmm. the foundation. And so really what would be interesting is that every dollar that is spent at The Well and at the bar has to be given back out to the community because of the nature of how the IRS treats foundations. And so unlike any other venue, that kind of circulation of funds will have to and will go back out to the community. So I find that pretty interesting.
Yeah, interesting to think about the impact of that. And you talk about that give back component. How exactly will that give back happen?
So because of the corpus and the IRS law, private foundations have to give out 5% to qualified nonprofit 501c3 entities. And so just by the nature of our grant making and our investment, it will just have to go back out to the community.
Okay. Well, you're catching me right before lunchtime. So, of course, anything to do with food and drink is sounding really lovely about this time. But maybe you could explain why this concept, The Well, is so unique to Southern Colorado and really across Colorado.
You know, I think there's a number of food halls that are out there. And we use some contractors, Simpatico Hospitality and Russ Ware are helping us manage this. And so it's not dissimilar from the perspective of like food halls that are out there. But we did have a goal of elevating food, elevating just kind of that design. Echo Architecture did the design work. It is going to be a little bit more upscale. We sort of say it's for that kind of working professional. And then on the other side, I think we'd be able to create a outdoor patio and music venue to build community, I think, is going to be unique. If you go to the corner of Pikes Peak and Weber, you can, there's views of the mountain. With our climate, I think sitting outside in an outdoor, indoor patio and bar to order food, I think, is just going to be unique for us. And then again, I think just the nature of that return that will go back to the community. And then the other part that I would say is a little bit unique is because those four food stalls have a low entry barrier from a cost perspective, we are able to kind of incubate new, which will turn into larger brick and mortar restaurants later on. So someone can come in, try a concept, get traction, and then short period of time, be able to move out and find their own, kind of feet in their own brick and mortar spot.
I think actually that may have been how Howard Schultz started with Starbucks way back in the day, right. up in Pike's Place Market up there or Pike Place Market up in Seattle. All right, well let's wrap up this segment. We do need to kind of have you encapsulate what you want people to know about The Well, about Spurf, the philanthropy, about the Philanthropy Collective. We have about a minute for both you and David. Why don't you see if you can encapsulate what you would really like the audience to take away? What's the main takeaway from this hour?
I think for me, it's engagement, community building, that, if we truly love Colorado Springs, then as a community, we need to invest in Colorado Springs. And that means, being able to commune together, but also finding ways to actually fund things that we all, want to enjoy. And so I think that the Philanthropy Collective is trying to lead in that. But then, it's up to the rest of the community to also be a part of that.
Okay, well, like we all say throughout many of these shows here on The Extra, keeping our community, this region, vital, attractive to outsiders and those who dwell here as well is so important in making sure that we continue the livability of this area. So I think you've hit on some great ideas here. Can't wait to try out The Well at the Philanthropy Collective. And David Dullin with the Pikes Peak Community Foundation, why don't you join in and talk about what you would like the main takeaways for our audience members to have from this hour of The Extra?
Yeah, the main takeaway is like, come one, come all. Like we are trying to create a big table here for philanthropists of all sizes, whether you can give away $1,000 a year or $1 million a year. We want to connect and help you understand what's going on here. And this is a place for us to have important conversations that will have positive social impact on our region. So check us out. Come get to know us. We can help with your philanthropy of whatever scale and try to, move the needle on important issues here in town.
All right, fantastic. And so if you want to check it out, again, the address is 315 East Pikes Peak Avenue. And I'm gathering with The Well, that means that it's open to the public in some aspect. Is that correct?
It'll be opening open March 21st.
March 21st. Okay, March 21st. And maybe you mentioned that. I'm sorry if I missed that detail in there. But March 21st. Okay, put that on our calendars as a chance to check out the happenings at the Philanthropy Collective and The Well. All right, if you'd like to find out more about this initiative, again, the website, thephilanthropycollective.org. And again, you have to put the in there so that we get the full web address. And we'll make sure that we put this link up on our website and on our podcast link so that if you missed it as I was discussing it, you can find it there as well. And to our guests today, so glad to have you with us, David Dullin, the Pikes Peak Community Foundation's Vice President of Philanthropic Services, and Tony Resendo, CEO of Spur Philanthropy. Thank you both for joining us today and talk more about this important endeavor.
Thank you for having us.
And I should have thanked both of you one at a time because it always leads to a case of jinx there. But you've been listening to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio and to our guests from the Pikes Peak Community Foundation and Spur Philanthropy. We want to thank them. And to our listeners, thank you for spending this hour of conversation with us. You've been listening to The Extra. Tom Martino is up next.